A Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
For now, let's talk about food safety. It's a global health concern, and according to the World Health Organization, about 600 million, if you break that down, that's what, almost one in every 10 people in the world, they fall ill after eating contaminated food, and about 420,000 die every year because of this, Brian.
Now, and that's why that Food Industry Asia, along with their members, are actively working on regulations that can improve and protect the food industry here, especially since Singapore relies heavily on food imports.
This morning, our guest has strong experience on Asian food regulations. She was also previously the Regulatory Affairs Advisor of the International Alliance of Dietary and Food Supplement Association, and she's been pushing for harmonization of standards both regionally as well as globally. We welcome to the studio Jiang Yifan, Head of Science and Regulatory Affairs at the Food Industry Asia. Good morning, Yifan.
Hi, good morning, everyone.
Today is Recreational Sports and Fitness Day. What do you do for recreational sports? How do you keep fit? See, nothing to do with
yes,
food.
Yes, I do keep my regular activities,
like?
And I do play badminton weekly.
Badminton?
Yes, I've been playing for many, many years.
Okay, see, with Ryan, our money man, he plays basketball. But my friend here, Brian, when I ask him about recreational sports, he says he cycles 100 kilometers every day. That's not recreational.
That's only on the weekends.
Oh, no, now that's only on the weekends. He's changing his answer. Crazy man. Okay, Yifan, let's get down to business. What's your role in the food industry?
Currently, I'm heading the Science and Regulatory Affairs function in the Food Industry Asia. So partly of what I do is really to help the industry to collaborate with our external stakeholders, including the governments and also capacity building partners like the World Bank in a lot of food safety capacity building programs with the developing countries to help the government as well as the industry to actually upgrade the food safety standards.
Any examples like how FIA has impacted the industry here?
For example, in the region of Asia, we have several partnerships in the few developing countries, especially. For example, part of the program we do is to help the government laboratories to upskill their capacity in food safety testing. So we actually partner with a few like laboratories and from our members' inputs and also by putting together all the expertise and resources, we help to train the government lab people to come to Singapore to enjoy a week of training modules to help them to conduct some testing, and especially in this region we focus a lot on like this testing of mycotoxin contaminants in food.
Now Yifan, can you just give us an idea so that our listeners can wrap their heads around what's the size of the food industry and how important is it in the context of its contribution to GDP and also employment in Singapore?
Yeah, the contribution of the food industry in Singapore is pretty considerable, both in the directly and indirectly way, because the food manufacturing sector, actually, we conducted a study in 2017. The food manufacturing industry actually contribute $4.3 billion to the nation's GDP, and also we employ over 4,800 workers here.
Yeah, because Singaporeans, and you've lived in Singapore for like, what, 11, 12 years now?
Yes.
You would have noticed Singaporeans, we love food. If you ask any Singaporean today, being Recreational Sports and Fitness Day, what do they do for recreational sports? They'll say they walk from one hawker center to another.
Me too, yes. Yeah, I love the food here as well, yes.
What do you think is the biggest cause of concern in the food industry here?
I think that the biggest concern, as for always, is number one is on food safety. Because as for food industry, actually protecting the consumer's health is our most important goal. And also secondly, I would also like to say that actually currently the consumer demand is also getting higher and higher. Mm. Consumers are getting smarter and they are also requiring more in terms of what they're eating. They might not only safe food, but also more nutritious food and also natural in that sense as well. So the industry really needs to identify what is the needs and produce the products tailored to the market.
So could you then define what is considered strong food regulation and why is it so important?
I would say that in terms of maybe from two angles. Firstly, I feel that a good and strong regulation really need to acknowledge that actually food regulation and food safety is a shared responsibility among different stakeholders, including the government, but also the industry, as well as the consumers. And consumers could also play a part in food safety by actually protecting ourselves by getting the knowledge of how to consume and buy safe food and how to produce the food safely at home as well. So this is about a shared responsibility, and also the responsibility should be shared between the government and the industry sector as well, because the industry, we need to adhere to the regulations by the government, but at the same time, we can have a lot of inputs in the government's capacity as well. And secondly, I would like to say that another strong food regulation should also identify food regulation from the angle of like how to make a preventative approach into food safety rather than reactive or leading it to a food safety crisis. But from the very beginning of the source, we need to identify where are the risks and how to actually put in place a lot of preventative measures in the food supply chain.
We're talking about food safety regulations in Singapore and its impacts on the food industry. Jiang Yifan, Head of Science and Regulatory Affairs at FIA, our guest this morning. Yifan, here's the money question. Food supply chain today, it's getting a lot more complex. You know, a country that relies heavily on food imports. What are the economic consequences of poor food safety regulations?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I have some figures here. And actually, recently, the World Bank has conducted a study about the economic burden of the unsafe food in low and medium income countries across the globe. And actually, on the global landscape, it's estimated that the cost of unsafe food in these low and medium income countries will cost around US$110 billion. Wow. In terms of the measure of the loss of productivity and the medical expenses every year.
Ooh, that's a lot of money.
Yes. And also comparing that figure in this region, in Asia, yeah, actually the dollar amount would be $63.1 billion. So you can say that actually Asia is the region that is worth more attention in terms of these issues.
Now, seeing that Singapore has limited agricultural output compared to other Southeast Asian countries, and essentially what we do is we import the bulk of our food, what can we do to strengthen our food safety management systems?
Yes, you're right, Brian. Actually, in Singapore, we know that we import more than 90% of the food into Singapore. Yeah, and definitely Singapore needs to be aware of what's happening outside across the world, because we source the product from everywhere. So therefore, there is really a need for us to be up on the trend and also putting in place a food safety management system that is adhering to the best international standards, so we know that how do we control the products that are coming in.
Jiang Yifan, Head of Science and Regulatory Affairs at the FIA, which is the Food Industry Asia, our guest this morning. Yifan, we like to compare ourselves with the rest of the world. Where does Singapore stand regionally and globally in terms of, you know, our capacity to protect our food industry?
Yeah, we would say that the food safety standards in Singapore are actually pretty high and adhering to the international standard. And actually, we can see that the Singapore food regulators and industry are pretty active actually in the regional and international space in terms of developing the international standards as well. And as from industry perspective, we also enjoy very good working and collaboration relationship with the government stakeholders in Singapore. I think that's why we could really work together to ensure the compliance and really make sure that Singapore is adhered to the international best practices.
But I think even that, you know, sometimes things can still go wrong, especially if people are inconsistent.
Yeah, so, you know, how does inconsistent laws, regulations and legislation as well, among many nations really, participating in the global food trade, affect overall food industry? And we're not talking also just about the inconsistent laws. It's about the enforcement of the laws. So could you shed some your insights on that, please?
Actually, yes, you are very correct to identify the inconsistencies on the regulations that is really existing in the regional and international space. And the reason of this is also because that actually different countries are going through different stages of the food legislation development. And internationally, there are efforts actually trying to harmonize the food safety and the regulation standards across the world as well. So we're also actively participating in that. But looking at the current inconsistencies of the regulations among different countries and the region, it does actually bring in some burdens in terms of, for example, the difficulty in complying to the regulations in different countries. And also sometimes it could cause confusion to consumers as well. And also, most importantly, it does affect the trade of foods because sometimes you may face a regulatory hurdle in entering another country.
Okay, so one of the things that worries all of us, so especially in a Singapore context, we import 90% of our food. And from some of the markets, the regulations may be good. So I'm just taking following for our point earlier about the regulations are good. The enforcement is not very good. And we've had those issues, for example, with food safety from foods in China, for example. How do we deal with that?
Yes, that's a very good point as well. In terms of the enforcement and implementation, as we know that, yes, regulation is there, but it's really in terms of how people are using them. Yeah, how do they put into place? That's why, as I suggested earlier, we need to focus more on the preventative approach. We need to have the suitable system in place to actually prevent that from happening. And also, how do we prevent that from happening? I think that we need to really focus a lot of the inputs in terms of providing the trainings to the people who are in the food industry, adhering to the best practices. They need to have constant training and to build that kind of food safety culture in mind as well.
So because we import so much of our food, do our food importers, for example, or the large purchasers, people like NTUC, do they have inspectors at the country of source in order to have some degree of quality control?
Yes, they do have. Yes, there are a few measures that will include, for example, like the source accreditation, random inspections and sampling tests of the products that is constantly happening for testing of the product and ensuring the quality through a certain standards of certification or accreditation.
We're talking about food safety in Singapore and, of course, in the region as well. Jiang Yifan, Head of Science and Regulatory Affairs at the FIA, speaking to us this morning. Yifan, so we've been talking about enforcement of laws and, you know, in some places, inconsistent laws. Singapore has had a number of food poisoning cases late last year. Now, I know you can't comment on those cases, but in light of that, with that in the background, do you think enough is being done to ensure food safety here in terms of regulation? And can anything else be done?
I think that there's never enough that can be done, actually, not only in Singapore, but in any parts of the world. Because when we see this issue, actually, as I mentioned, we need to make sure the constant and consistent implementation of the food safety standards. So that's where training needs to come in, yeah, to make sure that the human capacity is over there. I think here's probably where we can strengthen as well. And on the other hand, as I mentioned, why is never enough? It's also because food safety and industry practice and also the complex environment of food system is progressing all the time.
Okay.
We need to make sure that we're always aware of the risks that are emerging so that we can actually put in place the necessary actions around it. So they will include like the support of technology, but also technologies evolving as well.
Great. So I was going to get to that because you have highlighted how every single layer needs to be consistent and needs to have good training. But can technology help us? Can it take away that human error?
Yes, we wouldn't say they will completely actually take away the human practice inside, but actually, yes, technology could play a big part in a lot of ways. For example, the technology is developing in terms of like the testing capacity. Now we are able to test the contaminants in the much lower threshold thanks to the development of laboratory testing technologies and also the early detection of the incidences and the contaminants as well, and also other technologies, for example, like a good traceability system, also data sharing between the private and the government sector so that we can react faster. Yes.
Now, Yifang, let's take a broader look now and go once above and talk about the mega trend of literally countries looking at food security. Food security not only from a food safety perspective, but also using other countries leasing large tracts of land and growing their own food specifically for their own market. Now, could you then give us some insights into the impact that's going to have on the food industry and food safety in particular?
I think you're talking about like how the trading and the globalization of the food system.
Correct, because people like Saudi Arabia, for example, are leasing large tracts of land overseas specifically for their own markets.
Yeah, exactly. That's where actually we now look at how globalization is actually shaping the food system and the supply chain here as well. So I think that increasingly this kind of collaboration is actually helping the different countries to actually leverage on their strength and collaborate together, and also the role of international trade. They come in as well actually to facilitate the movement of goods so that the customers, the consumers can enjoy the best quality of the product from the world.
Yeah, never take any of that for granted. You don't just put the food in your mouth. Huh? There's a lot that goes through before it gets there. Well, we really appreciate this morning's conversation. Jiang Yifan, Head of Science and Regulatory Affairs at the FIA, talking to us about food safety regulations in Singapore and the impacts on the food industry. Yifan, thank you so much for coming by the studio, and you have a great weekend ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.